Welcome to the program, God and Country, a biblical teaching program that examines current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is an Obamacare update. Since Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act of 2009, many things have been happening in regard to the gradual implementation of this 2,700-page bill creating a national healthcare system. Many of these new laws are affecting the church economically, but also in these new mandates, there is an attack on religious freedom, on the right of association, in that these new mandates require the funding of abortion, along with many other morally related healthcare issues. So it is important for the Christian community to keep abreast on the implementation of Obamacare. Christians have historically experienced persecutions when ungodly governments have taken upon themselves social programs. It is the nature of the goals of the city of man conflicting with the goals of this city of God. It will be very interesting to see how history looks back at the passage of Obamacare in 2009. Many have predicted that Obamacare will cause prices to skyrocket, red tape to increase, services to decrease. And rather than President Obama going down in history as a hero, his healthcare agenda will be a complete failure. Now, why would that be? Well, there are some intrinsic economic problems with Obamacare. But more importantly, the very nature of what the government is trying to do is problematic. I believe our politicians were sincerely trying to help, but they had no idea what they were taking on. If you think people are angry at the healthcare system now, wait until Obamacare is fully enforced. All the anger that is now directed at big insurance companies will be directed at the government. Do the politicians know what they have just purchased? The worst thing you can do is take on someone else's responsibilities. For example, imagine taking on the responsibility of raising someone else's children. Who will be blamed if there's a failure? Even if the failure was the fault of the children, you will be blamed. What will it now mean when Washington is responsible for everyone's health? Even the apostles told the church not to take on the responsibility of providing for families. 1 Timothy 5:9. In Obamacare, the politicians unwittingly have brought more trouble and expenses down upon their heads. And it's going to be quite a show to watch all of this unfold over the next decade. Back in 2009, the Democrats rushed the Obamacare bill through the House and the Senate, promising that it would solve our national recession, it would reduce health costs for families, it would help balance the federal budget, and more people would be covered. So far, every promise has proven to be false. Because of all the new mandates, health insurance premiums have gone up. Since the law was passed, the average health insurance premium is $3,065 more today than it was in 2009. More companies have had to stop providing insurance for their employees, so more employees are uninsured. And according to the government's own accounting office, Obamacare will increase the long-term federal deficit by $6.2 trillion. The president said back in 2009, "I will not sign a plan that adds one dime to our deficit, neither now or in the future." I guess he didn't read or understand the details of his own healthcare bill. Obamacare is summed up well by columnist P.J. O'Rourke. He wrote, "If you think healthcare is expensive now, wait until you see what it costs when it's free." And that was a problem. People thought that the government's intervention into the healthcare system would provide for them free healthcare or at least reduce costs, hoping that by everyone buying health insurance, it will make it cheaper. But one thing every economist knows about insurance in any area of life, it never reduces costs. It always increases the cost of the product because with insurance, people believe someone else is paying the bills and they take advantage of the system. So where does the law stand right now? The big changes begin in 2014, but right now the IRS has hired 4,000 new agents to enforce Obamacare. The Obamacare legislation, which started at 2,700 pages, according to an article in Forbes, has now grown to 13,000 pages, as the government's Health and Human Services Department has had to explain and apply the new law. The states are supposed to create healthcare exchanges to help the uninsured find coverage. 26 states have chosen not to do it and to let the federal government do it. Why? New Jersey's Governor Chris Christie vetoed the exchanges because they were too costly, and the Obamacare legislation was too ambiguous to determine what was to be done. In other news, as of March 2nd, the high-risk pools for people with pre-existing medical problems has run out of money, and new people cannot be accepted. This program ran through $5 billion rather quickly, but it doesn't matter to the administration because regular insurance companies will soon be forced to take these people. Another news item you are hardly hearing about is the millions of workers who are being cut from full-time to part-time. It's the only way companies can avoid the new requirements under Obamacare. When a business hires someone at minimum wage, they can't afford to pay $1,400 a month in health insurance for that employee. Under Obamacare, if the employee is part-time, under 30 hours a week, there are no requirements for the business to provide insurance. So the consequence for Obamacare? Unemployment. We will become a nation where all basic, simple work will become part-time. Obamacare is not fully kicked in, but in 2016, there will be a 40% excise tax on anyone's insurance policy that costs more than $2,000 a month. There will be a health insurance tax on investment income. There will be a $700 penalty per person or a $2,000 penalty per family if you have not purchased health insurance. It'll be interesting to see how the government will try to enforce this when families cannot afford to buy health insurance. But in all this, Obama and the Democratic Party has to own Obamacare. And it has yet to be seen whether it is even possible to implement. Politicians often sign things into law, not realizing the unintended consequences or the nightmare of implementing the program. As our country is in recession, the government is going bankrupt, businesses are closing. Unemployment is rising. The Democratic Party was determined to push on America one of their longtime party platform dreams, universal health care. They were so determined to create their socialist vision that I believe economic reality was ignored. Kind of reminds me of when the communists took over the Soviet Union and implemented their five-year plan. It failed miserably because it was theoretical communism with no understanding of economics or business. So Obamacare might end up becoming a complete fantasy. In the end, it may not be able to be implemented because every family doesn't have the money to buy their own insurance, and the government doesn't have the money to buy it for them. Last month, an entire edition of Time magazine was dedicated to the problems in our current healthcare system. If you really want to understand the problems in healthcare today, you need to read this article. It's called "The Bitter Pill: Why Medical Bills Are Killing Us." The author puts very little hope in Obamacare. He writes, "With Obamacare, we've changed the rules relating to who pays for what, but we haven't done much to change the prices we pay. We seem to jump right into the issue of who should pay the bills, blowing past what should be the first question, why exactly are bills so high?" The article shows very clearly that one of the major problems with Obamacare is that it's crony capitalism. The Democrats did not propose a national health care insurance, but a program requiring the public to purchase private insurance and requiring private insurance companies to cover everyone and every illness. The leaders of the medical industry, who supported the bill, were supporting the fact that the government would force everyone in America to buy health insurance. If only the car manufacturers could get everyone to buy new cars every year, or the apple growers could get everyone to buy apples. This is crony capitalism. The politicians lining the pockets of the business owners, and the business owners lining the pockets of the politicians. Even many liberals who understood what was going on were extremely disappointed in Obama for what he had done. And I would agree with the writer of this Times Magazine article that it would have been much better for the government to solve the healthcare crisis by extending the Medicare program to every citizen in America, not just to those over 65. It would have covered the poor. It would have been simpler. It would have avoided the nightmare of bureaucratic red tape. It would have produced immediate good results. I don't believe it would have been the best solution. Health savings programs would have been the best. But allowing the poor to buy into Medicare would have been a much better solution than what we have now. Now, there's all sorts of rational and economic reasons why the president's health care plan is not good. But the question for us needs to be this: is there something biblically, intrinsically wrong with the Affordable Care Act of 2009? This healthcare bill was actually sold as a Christian value. That is, you are your brother's keeper. And since we're all responsible for one another, everyone should be required to pool their money together and pay for health insurance so we're all covered. We should all be a little suspicious of this because "I am my brother's keeper" was the exact same argument used to sell communism in the early 20th century. Now, the main problem with Obamacare is not the charity aspect, it's the method. The government is not just helping the poor, but controlling everyone's healthcare dollars. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, the moral teaching about helping the poor is established. If there's a poor man with you, one of your brothers, in any of your towns and in your lands which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your heart, nor close your hand from your poor brother, but you shall freely open your hand to him and shall generously lend to him sufficient for his need in whatever he lacks. You shall generously give to him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. So this passage refutes any cold economic logic that if people are poor, they should strictly remedy the problem themselves. But Deuteronomy 15 suggests a method for helping the poor. Free will offerings, money is to be loaned to them, interest free. Conservatives are not opposed to helping those who are poor to pay their medical bills. But that is a whole different scheme than the government requiring everyone to buy health insurance so that the poor can get their medical insurance for free. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, Israel was rebuked by God for demanding more intrusive authoritarian government, a government that would overstep its bounds and take upon itself the duties of the individual. The scripture warns against socialism. And it's not just economic waste that's the concern, but the moral danger of the state controlling what belongs to the private individual. Morally, when the state takes over personal responsibility, it enslaves the people, it threatens the morality of a people. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 17, the church is warned about the Antichrist state, where one is not able to buy and sell without the permission of the state. Now, someone might claim, these are just paranoid concerns. The state control of healthcare is not going to result in the empowering of evil. Oh, yes, it will, and it has already started. Obamacare requires that all companies that have 50 or more employees must provide insurance to their employees or face fines. But not just any insurance. Insurance that covers birth control pills, emergency contraceptives, abortifacient drugs. Christians who own companies cannot in good conscience pay for such mandates. It's bad enough that the government uses tax dollars to fund Planned Parenthood. We are told to render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and we have no control over what Caesar does with our taxes. But now the government is forcing the public to pay directly for abortion. And this is the typical progression in the historic persecution of the church. First, the government passes laws permitting other people to practice immorality and murder. Second, the next stage, is the government taxes you to pay for others to practice immorality and murder. But then soon the government requires you to directly pay others to do these things. What will be the final stage? The government requires you to practice either immorality or murder. Oh, you say that would never happen. It's already happening in China with forced abortions. So at least 14 companies have filed suit against the federal government's Health and Human Services for violating their right to free exercise of religion. And you've probably heard about this on the news. Hobby Lobby, a Christian-owned retailer with 520 stores, is petitioning the government saying that its requirement to pay for emergency abortion drugs is a violation of the Constitution. How is the Obama administration responding to this? Well, they grudgingly are making some exceptions for churches and religious groups, but they refuse to give any exemptions to private companies. The administration is arguing that companies are not protected by the First Amendment and that the government can force its moral directives on citizens in the conduct of their business. For Hobby Lobby, they will be fined $1.3 million per day if they do not comply. Now watch this case, because if Hobby Lobby loses, this will be the beginning of direct persecution on the church, similar to the persecution that began in ancient Rome. The persecution always begins economically. If you don't submit to the will of the state, you lose your job, you lose your right to buy and sell, and then once that is established and accepted, then the state will put people in jail for their religious beliefs. Now, by the way, if God's people have to close down businesses out of persecution, you can be sure that God is allowing this for the blessing and the protection of his people. Remember in Acts chapter 8, the church was persecuted and driven out of Jerusalem. That was good for the church because within a few years, the people of Jerusalem were put to death by the Romans. The French chased the Christian Huguenots out of France, but that saved the Huguenots from the bloody French Revolution. If the government pushes Christians out of business, be sure the American economy is ready to collapse. God is doing us a favor. But here's a fascinating aspect of the Health and Human Services mandate that all health insurance cover abortion services. First, Obama broke his promise. When Obamacare was passed back in 2009, remember that one of the issues, even for some pro-life Democrats, was that the bill would require the American people to pay for abortion. But the president assured everyone that the bill would not do this. But rather than change the bill, he offered an executive order stating that the bill would not require insurers to pay for abortion. Now, this executive order was meaningless, but it convinced some and the bill was passed. 3 years later, what is Obamacare now doing? Requiring everyone to buy insurance that pays for abortion drugs. Second, there is really no financial need for insurance companies to subsidize contraceptives or abortion drugs. Last year, Congress held hearings to discuss the part of Obamacare requiring insurance companies to cover contraceptives. You know, this has been one of the goals of liberalism for years, that the government offer free abortion, free condoms, free contraceptives for everyone. This is part of the sexual revolution. This is part of the liberal culture of death. Now, remember during these hearings, one of the spokeswomen was a lobbyist named Sandra Fluke, who testified that college women were in angst over how they were going to pay for their contraceptives. Fluke claimed that the pill was costing these college girls $3,000 a year. Yet the next day, the news fact-checked her claim. The pill can be purchased at Walmart for $9 a month. Hardly an expense we need insurance to pay for. So why the big deal? Why the mandate? Why force Christian companies, Hobby Lobby, to pay for these things? It's not about the cost for these people. It is really about the moral principle they're trying to win. They want everyone to acquiesce to their beliefs, and they will not find satisfaction until they force people to agree with them morally. See, what was the point in Rome making the Christians burn incense to the Roman gods? Did it do something for Rome economically or politically? No, they wanted to make Christians violate their beliefs out of sheer spite. The pro-choice crowd wants the public to fund their agenda to make it more acceptable. So the battle over Hobby Lobby is not really about money. It's about forcing people to accept abortions and sexual freedom. And this makes the whole agenda that much more evil. It's not about healthcare. It's about a new world order. Healthcare is really a moral issue, not an economic issue. Here's a little something I discovered in my research that you will not hear from the media. Obamacare is really about getting the public to pay for the AIDS epidemic, the fruit of the sexual revolution that began in the 1960s. Now hear me out. Under Obamacare, insurance companies cannot deny someone coverage based on pre-existing conditions. Therefore, if you have AIDS and need $3,000 a month in antiretroviral drugs, the insurance company must immediately accept you and begin to pay all of your expenses. The homosexual lobby pushed for the passage of Obamacare. Only 17% of the 1.2 million people in our country with AIDS have private insurance. Federal and state programs have to pick up the other 83%. Medicare, Medicaid, SSI, the Ryan White HIV care program. About 50,000 new cases of AIDS are diagnosed every year, along with the 1.2 million who already have AIDS. Treatment drugs run between $2,000 and $5,000 a month. And it's estimated that for every person diagnosed with AIDS, he will incur medical costs of at least $500,000. So do the math, 1.2 million people times $500,000. Now, if these AIDS patients are self-insured, it dramatically raises the cost of premiums for everyone in the insurance pool. If these AIDS patients don't have insurance, it still costs the public money. So why do I say Obamacare is all about AIDS? Well, health costs have been increasing steadily for a number of different reasons: an aging population, more expensive procedures. Insurance companies and the medical system could generally absorb these new expenses, along with the percentage of the population that is uninsured. But once the AIDS epidemic took place, that put our fragile medical system over the edge. Insurance companies had to now pay out billions more. Hospitals were stuck with many people with AIDS who couldn't pay. Government programs were pushed beyond their limit. All of a sudden in the 1990s, premiums went through the roof and there was a healthcare crisis. Where did this come from? AIDS. Why don't you hear this? It's not politically correct to blame anything on AIDS, because then it's assumed you're blaming the homosexual lifestyle and thou shall not judge. Now, here's the political correctness in all this. Under Obamacare, insurance companies will be able to charge smokers premium penalties between $4,000 and $5,000 a year. But are homosexuals charged a premium for their risky behavior? Of course not. Sexual immorality is considered a protected right. Consider this. One of the characteristics of evil is to live as a parasite off the good. What you sow, you reap, but the sinner always looks for some way to get other people to pay for what they have sown. They lead debauched, immoral lives, and then when the consequences come, they demand that they have a right to free housing, to free food, to free health care. And they will latch on to the innocent to find sympathy for their funding. For example, the federal government's Ryan White program, which pays for homosexuals to get treatment, was not promoted with the name of a homosexual dying of AIDS, but Ryan White, a teenager who contracted AIDS through a blood transfusion. A very tiny minority of those with AIDS have contracted it apart from immorality or illegal drug use. And you know that the promotion for Obamacare was always the child with cancer. But the real medical crisis in our nation, the real reason and motive for Obamacare not being talked about, was homosexuals needing treatment for AIDS. And it's not just AIDS. There is an STD epidemic in our country. There are 19 million, yes, 19 million new STD infections every year. One in five Americans have a sexually transmitted disease. Among those under 25, 63% have an STD. People with these conditions become insecure, afraid, and they will certainly vote for any program that guarantees their health care, even at the expense of others. Now, is the solution to not fund those dying of AIDS who are homosexuals or not fund STD treatment? There is no good solution. We're all affected by the sins of others, but at least we should recognize that the crisis we are in is due to national immorality. Now, by way of conclusion, in politics, they always talk about follow the money if you want to understand what is really behind an issue. But we should also now add, follow the morals. Is the morals of the people of this nation behind current public policy? Now, the politicians are attempting to affix our national health care crisis with new methods, Obamacare. But here is one major example of a national problem that cannot be solved by policy, by money, by human ingenuity, but only by a change in people's moral behavior. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is to be held honorable among all, and the marriage bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. God will never be proven wrong, and nobody will ever avert the judgment of God. This is the Obamacare update, and this has been God and Country Radio. Visit our website at godandcountryradio.org. This is program number 75. You can listen to this program again and many other past programs on our website, godandcountryradio.org. And if you contact us, we'll put you on our email list. We'll send you weekly notices about upcoming programs. It's godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, God and Country Radio. Don't forget to include the word radio. Thank you for tuning in today. After hearing all of this bad news, aren't you glad you have salvation in Jesus Christ and have been delivered from the dominion of Satan in this world? Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we pray for our nation. Help us to see the sins that we're unwilling to face. Show us that any solution apart from faith and repentance in Jesus Christ is completely in vain. Do not leave us in our sin, but chasten us quickly so that we would return to you. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen.